Psalm 58 and 83, when God breaks teeth and turns enemies into dung. The Bible's songbook has some of the rawest prayers you'll ever read. Psalm 58 and Psalm 83 don't whisper nice religious thoughts. They tell God to get violent. We're talking broken teeth, enemies melting like snails, people becoming dung on the ground, and whole nations being destroyed, so the world finally knows the Lord is the Most High. Two psalms will wake you up if you thought the Bible was only gentle lambs and peaceful meadows. We're going to sit with these hard words in a casual way today, see what they actually mean, why the writers prayed them, and what they mean for us who follow Jesus in a world full of evil. The writer of Psalm 58 is fed up with unjust rulers. He calls them out for lying and having hands that deal violence from birth. And then comes the part that makes some folks cringe. During his prayer, he says, "Break their teeth, Lord, in their mouths, tear out their fangs, Lord." He doesn't stop there. Like water that runs off, like grass that withers before it grows, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun, he wants them to vanish. Lastly, he asks God to make them disappear like snails in the sun or miscarriages that never got a chance. In the end, he says that the righteous will rejoice when vengeance comes, and they'll wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Yeah, it's pretty intense. Some people wonder, is this even Christian? These are Old Testament prayers, but they're still scripture. Jesus didn't toss out the Psalms. He quoted them all the time. The psalmist isn't saying we should break teeth ourselves. He's just expressing honest anger towards the only one who can do something about evil without becoming evil. Basically, he's asking God for justice that matches the crime after handing over the whole nasty mess to him. Turn to Psalm 83. This one sounds like a war room prayer. He says he's got a bunch of nations and groups that have teamed up against God's people. He says they're plotting together and making a covenant against God. He wants God to make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, just like you did Midian and Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon. Aside from being like dung on the ground, tumbleweed in the wind, and fire that burns up the forest, he even prays that God will fill their faces with shame so they'll seek his name. Finally, he says, "Let them know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth." This is what we call imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory just means they call down curses or judgment. They're not polite. They're not vague. They're specific, bloody, and they're in the Bible for a reason. God doesn't get shocked by our anger at injustice, so he invites us to bring it to him instead of pretending it isn't there or taking revenge ourselves. Let's take a look at the language. Break their teeth. That's not gentle. Teeth are often depicted as power in the Bible, as if to tear or devour. The snail melting and the stillborn child images show how completely the psalmist wants evil to disappear, quietly and without leaving a legacy. The dung image in Psalm 83 is even more humbling. Dung is worthless, something people walk on and forget. If they don't turn to God, the proud enemies of God will be trampled and forgotten. Some folks try to soften these psalms by saying they're only poetic or just for that time in history. But the Bible doesn't give us that easy out. These prayers are preserved because they teach us something about God's holiness and sin's seriousness. There's a reason we should want God to act when evil people plot against innocent people, leaders lie and crush people, and whole groups try to wipe out God's people. It's not because we're bloodthirsty, but because we know a good God can't ignore evil forever. Now, what does this have to do with Jesus in the New Testament? Jesus says we have to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That's still true, but loving enemies doesn't mean pretending evil doesn't exist. Jesus quoted Psalms and warned about coming judgment. He talked about hell more than anyone else. He turned the tables in the temple. He called religious leaders broods of vipers. Psalms like these express God's holy anger. It's on a cross that fierce justice meets amazing mercy. Jesus took the punishment we deserved on the cross. He got the teeth-breaking, blood-washing punishment so that we could be forgiven. That doesn't cancel out the Psalms, it just makes them even better. Now that justice has been satisfied by Christ, we can pray with a different spirit. It's okay to ask God to stop evil, to protect the innocent, and even to bring violent enemies to their knees. Today we read Psalm 58 and 83, which remind us that Christianity isn't a soft religion. It's a faith that looks straight at the darkness and still believes God is stronger than it all. We can be honest with God about how ugly sin is and how we're looking forward to the day when it's all crushed under his feet. We live in a time when evil still roars. We're seeing corrupt leaders, violent gangs, traffickers, and ideologies that hate everything God calls good. Feeling angry about it is okay. Let's bring it to the Lord and ask Him to act. Ask Him to defend His name and His people. And while we wait for His perfect timing, we pray that many of those enemies become brothers and sisters in Christ before it's too late. It ends with hope for the writers of these Psalms. Righteous people rejoice in Psalm 58 and say, "Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth." In Psalm 83, it's all about seeking God's name and knowing He's the only one. The truth is that when you turn to God, judgment isn't final. Mercy is always on hand. It's okay to pray Psalm 58 or 83 out loud next time you're overwhelmed by evil around you. God doesn't fear strong language. He inspired it. These prayers remind you that the same God who can break teeth is also the same God who can save souls. He's both terrifyingly holy and wonderfully merciful.